It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this is All About Wine. With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today. That's what we're doing with the France. So we're continuing with France tonight. Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. Mike and I were talking about is the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport Mass.
Haverhill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com. In Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery. New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93. That's the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebach Winery.
We are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Flathead Lake Winery, and we're located at Cushier Park in Montana.
Famous Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
There you go.
A little chilly, but thank you, buddy.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not like it is up in the north areas, but
no.
Yeah, we're going to be what in the 60s tonight, I think.
Yeah,
somewhere around there.
Yeah, a little cool and, already. We're used to the 70s and all that, so the 60s is a little cool for us.
Yeah, our winter will hit for about 2 weeks in January or February, and then it'll be over with, and we're back into the hot weather again.
You're right.
Once again, as we all know, last Saturday was your 11th birthday party, and
yay!
I just wanted to. It was, yeah, very. Okay,
thank
come on.
You.
They can be a little more cheery than that. But it was. There you go.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Had to close the window. So yeah, it was a fantastic. I was there for a couple hours at least, and did some spending there, which is great, and really enjoyed it. It was a fantastic party. Had cake and a lot of people show up, some great vendors, and I bought a couple of things from what was it? The candle, Bob and Boxer.
No,
and,
Boxer
and Crystal. Yeah.
Christy,
yeah, with some really interesting. They cut rock, I guess, in a design and make a base for it, and you can put it's that what's that oil, paraffin or something, wax
right.
Oil in there, and really cool. And I got a couple of those and spent some stuff, and also donated to. I forgot. It was Lisa. Was Lisa out there?
Or yeah,
was it,
Lisa was out there with the
Raffle Rescue. Yes,
yeah.
A fantastic organization. So I just stopped in there and got some information as well, and of Raffle Rescue, a great organization that helps people help with their pets, and it was fantastic. And just offered something there, and it was great. The weather was great. It felt great, and. And the music was excellent too. I just sat there for a little bit underneath the oak trees and listened to the musician, and he could play all kinds of stuff out there. That was and I'm going to have to draw up from here. Was that Dennis?
Dennis Devine.
Yes. There you go. So he was there. Fantastic stuff. Great time, and it was really enjoyable. So it was great.
Glad,
so
yeah, glad you stopped by. And I have to say thank you again too, Mike, for bringing out. Oh. I posted on Facebook before I left that morning. Oh no, it's a birthday party and I don't have birthday hats. And so Mike ran around and found me birthday hats and found a banner and found all sorts of birthday stuff. So we stuck happy birthday pennants outside the door and we hung a little sign, happy birthday. And I wore my birthday hat all day. And other people wanted it. Other people wanted it, and so I gave hats to other people, and I had other people wearing birthday hats and everything. So it was
cool. All right. was kind of I wasn't sure about the hats because they didn't say anything like for three and under, and I'm like, kind of going, wow, these are really not adult sizes.
No, but, they weren't.
But yeah, I checked Facebook right before I left, and I thought, okay, I can find some place, and yeah, mm-hmm. sure enough, up here in this little town, there's one place that has it. So
I felt like a unicorn walking around with a little cone on my head. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, but a great time. And, you know, if anybody's out in the area and you're going to be out on during one of the Wine Fest days, which we tell you about on the show here, and it's also posted on Facebook and everything, definitely stop by the winery during Wine Fest. It's great, great atmosphere. It's family friendly, pet friendly. I saw a few dogs out there.
People bring their dogs quite often. Yeah.
Yeah, that's excellent. So you know, it's a great atmosphere and everything, and you won't be sorry. And great bunch of people. So come out to Wine Fest next time it's on, and enjoy the day. So yeah, just want
to put someone on hold. Who is in the green room?
I'll be right back. Hold on.
Thank you. Yeah, we have someone sitting there. Cool. We'll find out who that is. I just looked at our switchboard, noticed that we have a caller sitting there. We'll bring them in pretty soon, a local caller, as a matter of fact. So we'll see who that is, and we'll get them on the air possibly. But a little bit more about Raffle Rescue, though, while Mike's in talk to that person. Raffle Rescue is a great organization, local one, that does a great job. When you get into a situation where it's either a choice between keeping your pet or feeding yourself, a lot of times the decision is a no-brainer and you have to feed yourself. Well, Raffle Rescue helps you hang on to your pets. They help you get through those situations. Who do we have?
Well, we're going to leave them on hold. I tried to pull them into the green room, and there's nobody on there. They haven't pressed the one key to let us know they want to talk. So I kind of explained that. I didn't hear anything on you know, coming from them. So if you are listening, it looks like a local number.
Looks like a local number, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to get on there and talk on air with us about wine, then push your one button at any time, and we'll try this again. But
yeah,
I didn't hear anything.
Don't have any subjects or anything we're covering, so we'll be happy to talk about anything you want to talk about.
Yep.
You
know? They could be a silent listener, so they can hear us now on hold, and we'll leave them there until they press the one button and let us know they want to come on. So, we'll go on. There we go.
But I was telling about Raffle Rescue, though. Great organization. Mm-hmm. Like I said, people have a choice between feeding themselves or feeding their pets. The pets are the ones that end up losing on that decision. And Raffle Rescue goes in. If people let them know that they're having problems feeding their pets, they'll go in. They'll help them feed the pets, get them through the tough times. If they need veterinary care, they'll help them with that. Great organization, great group. They keep the pets in the homes. They help you in the home, keep the pets in the home. We are really, really happy. We have ourselves a barrel that if anyone wants to bring in food for pets, we will give you a 10% discount on any wines you want to purchase that day. Bring in any type of food for pets, and it goes to Raffle Rescue, and we'll give you 10%. We love working with them. We're doing a raffle right now. A lot of their stuff comes from raffles. We're doing a raffle right now where we're offering three of our wines, and I don't know what all is involved. It's quite a bit of stuff that we're giving, and they're raffling it off, a dollar chance and stuff, to help, again, raise money for the Raffle Rescue. So it's a good organization. It's something we're very, very proud of, and very happy and proud that we're partnering with them and a lot of stuff that they do, and we love it when they come out because, Lisa is a great person, and she's trying to get herself a blog radio thing going, and she's so confused, and I've tried to help her with that a little bit too. So, but it is a good group. So I know that's not about wine, but it's something that that is, it's a good organization and a good group there. And so,
no.
is he the one in the green room?
Well, they're on hold right now, but I didn't want to mention the name in case, because there's two different names that came up, but we'll continue until they press something unless you know them. So.
Yeah, well, actually, I do. The first name used to work with us up there at the winery, and the second one I don't recognize right offhand. But
okay, well, they just want to stand by and
listen. If this is if this is what your name is, then you know, thanks for joining us. just topics tonight. We're just going to cover a few things tonight and just talk. We don't have any topic. We've been trying to get a guest from Australia. Brian, and I don't have Brian's last name in front of me. Brian is a blogger, and we've talked about him before, being a blogger. And he's going to join us at 7 o'clock our time here, and we are in Florida, for those of you listening in archives and all that. 7 o'clock Thursday night our time is 11 o'clock Friday morning in Australia. Like I always say, I always know that today's not going to end here because it's already tomorrow in Australia. So it being that he is that time difference, we've tried to get him on, and we always tend to have conflicts. He has things that he gets called out to do. He has different appointments and stuff. And he said he is free next week. So we are looking forward to next week to getting Brian onto it. We've got his Skype number and everything is all set and all that. So hopefully we'll get Brian on next week. But I was ready for him to come on this week, and I really wasn't prepared for anything else except for the fact that Brian was going to join us. So I have a few odd and end things to cover, as I always tend to do. There's always things to talk about in wine. First thing I want to cover quickly here, it's time for a couple more real estate ads here. Always a fun thing to do is read about what's happening in the real estate business and real estate for wines. And I just got a couple here. One of them is in Sonoma Coast Vineyard site. This is 70-plus acres in Seaview Fort Ross Appellation. I never heard of Seaview Fort Ross Appellation. With 20-plus or minus acres plantable on a good ridge topsoils. Preliminary soil pit analysis available. This area is the source of many super premium bottles. Ample water, beautiful home with a view of ocean, two other homes with uncertain permit history. Don't know what that means. An adjacent 255 plus or minus acres also available. That's only $1,975,000. Below $2 million. Good deal. And then we have 255 plus or minus acres of beautiful land with ocean view near Timber Cove. Improved dirt roads with wine through meadows, ponds, and timberland. That sounds pretty just in itself. Numerous building sites and ample water. Adjacent 58 plus or minus acre vineyard parcel also available. Make an offer we can refuse on both properties. And the 255 acres alone is, they're asking $705,000. Good deal. So, well, there you go. If anybody's Sonoma, if you want to know any more information, by all means, you know, Facebook or Skype or call us or anything, I'll be happy to give you more. And then one more here, Russian River Vineyard site. Two parcels totaling 26 plus or minus acres with 20 plus or minus acre level cleared vineyard land and potential for two home sites. So this is just land, it looks like. Excellent soil with well and feasibility study complete. Beautiful Russian River frontage, adjacent historic Sheridan Ranch on 285 acres also available. Possible owner financing for $1,290,000. And then the historic Sheldon Ranch at 285 plus or minus acres of forest and meadow overlooking the Russian River. The ranch and original Sheridan home have been in continuous family ownership for over 150 years. 5-bedroom Victorian farmhouse, barn, and outbuildings. All sorts of cool stuff. Possible lot split. Owner will consider financing an adjacent 26-acre vineyard parcel also available. Make an offer we can't refuse. Only $1,230,000 for the historic Sheridan Ranch. So, again, want to know any more? Let me know. I'll be more than happy to pass on the information to you.
Cool.
And so we've got the property out. Another little thing I want to read you here. Alcoholic beverages also full of calories. Oh, Where's our boo on this? I should have got the boo-oo stuff when I are keyed up when I said that. Yeah, really, really. Yeah. Booze offers nearly as many empty calories as soda, recent studies have found. It says, and I will read the article here quickly to you, Americans get too many calories from soda, but what about alcohol? It turns out adults get almost as many empty calories from booze as from soft drinks, a new government study has found. Soda and other sweetened drinks, the focus of obesity-fighting public health campaigns, are the source of about 6% of the calories adults consume on average. Alcoholic beverage account for about 5%, the new study found. We've been focusing on sweet sugar beverages. This is something new, said one of the authors of the study, and a person at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And they're the ones which released the findings. The government researchers say the findings deserve attention because, like soda, alcohol contains few nutrients but plenty of calories. The study is based on interviews with more than 11,000 U.S. adults from 2007 through 2010. Participants were asked extensive questions about what they ate and drank over the previous 24 hours. The study found, point, on any given day, about one-third of men and one-fifth of women consumed calories from beer, wine, or liquor. Point, averaged out to all adults, the average guy drinks 150 calories from alcohol each day, or the equivalent of a can of Budweiser, which is just about 5 ounces of red wine, too, to balance this out. The average woman drinks about 50 calories, or roughly a half a glass of wine, on average. Point, men drink mostly beer. For women, there is no favorite among beverages. For reference, a 12-ounce can of regular Coca-Cola has 140 calories, slightly less than a same-size can of regular Bud. A 5-ounce glass of wine has about 100 calories. Actually, that's a little low. They have about 120 calories. In September, New York City approved the unprecedented measure of cracking down on giant sodas, those bigger than 16 ounces or half a liter. It will take effect in March and bans the sale of those drinks at restaurants, cafeterias, and concession stands. Should New York officials now start cracking down on tall boy beers and monster margaritas? There are no plans for that, city health department officials said, adding in a statement that although studies show that sugary drinks are a key factor driver in the obesity epidemic, alcohol is not. So we're safe on alcohol, but it does contain as many calories as soda. So I think the conclusion I am drawing from this article is don't waste your time drinking sodas. Just drink wine.
Sounds good to me.
Hey, that's, if you're going to have those empty calories, you might just well drink wine and have empty calories with wine as opposed to soda.
Mm-hmm.
So, so that's the conclusion I drew from that. So, but
did you notice, I don't know if you saw this in the news, but Facebook has added wine to its gifts that you can send to other users on Facebook?
Oh. I didn't know that. Huh.
Okay. It says Facebook made its gifts feature. I don't know if you've seen this on Facebook, but apparently right. Whenever somebody has a birthday or a special event, congratulatory wishes, you can send someone on Facebook a gift, and they have now, for the first time, enabled the sending of alcoholic beverages, namely wine, to one another using the gift services, as long as both the sender and the recipient are older than 21. I don't know how they verify that, because you never know, people tend to spoof their birthdays on there. But anyway,
let's back up. Let me cover that quickly here.
Sure.
If it's FedEx or UPS or any of the carriers, they put a little circle on it. Must be signed by someone over 21. So that's
how they would verify. They would verify it somehow.
They would verify.
Okay.
That, yeah.
Good. So that's going to be something new. Apparently, the gifts service was introduced in September, limited, and now it's. I guess U.S., wide or whatever, but that's pretty cool. So you can go to facebook.com/gifts or through the buy a gift link on your friend's timelines and, go right to the bar and start picking out wine for your, wishes for everybody. So that'll be pretty cool.
Did it say what wines or anything?
It mentioned some wine partners, Blackbird, Bonterra, Capture Wines, Clark Claudon, I don't know, I can't remember. It's, David Family, Goose Cross, Mondavi, Mutt Lynch, Ricordo, Tasting Room, Terra Valentine, whatever, Titus, and Twisted Oak, I guess
quite
was another one.
Then. So it's not like it's just one, you know, quite a few different ones there.
So I guess I haven't looked at that part yet, but I saw it written in the news paper, and I thought, oh, well, bring that up sometime, and here we go.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that at all. Wow, that is cool. I was looking through. Wow, that's cool. I hadn't heard that. That I'll have to remember that. I was looking through one of the trade magazines I get called Internet Retailer, and every year Internet Retailer picks the top 100. Are the hot 100 internet sites in the country. And, you know, a lot of them are clothing sites and shoes and food and different things. I mean, like cheeses and tools and all that stuff. They had one site that was a wine site in all the 100, top 100. And that was StratusWines.com. And it was... Stratus Wines is located in Ontario, Canada. And I clicked on the site, and it's Stratus, S-T-R-A-T-U-S, Wines, W-I-N-E-S, StratusWines.com. I went to that site, and I was looking at that site. It's a very pretty site, and it's a very neat way to do it. you know, not to say that they didn't pick out a great site, but it took me a while to see that it was Ontario. I mean, I read the article out of the magazine. I noticed it was Ontario, but it took me a while to find that it was Ontario on their site because it was like kidding. But it's a very interesting site. They list their wines. It's neat how they you can click and go over to different things and different areas and all that stuff. So, but they won recognition as one of the top 100 websites through Internet Retailer. In the country, the Stratus Wines. You all out there might check it out. It's a nice site. It says here on this little blurb, it says not everyone wants to know the sugar content of a wine at harvest or how long it's spent in barrels, but the e-commerce site of Stratus Vineyards caters to the kinds of buyers of premium wines who often do care about these types of details. StratusWines.com presents on its product page, technical specification of the wine, winemaker notes, reviews, and suggested food pairings, which is really cool because I checked that out, and that is a neat thing. They also had another feature on there, which I thought was very good on their site, was that you can click on a wine, like a red wine or something, and or their red wines, and you can go back to previous years. If they haven't sold out, you can go back like 4 years or 5 years on some of these and pick up wines that are sitting there that are older that haven't sold out. So, and they got each of the years up at the top of the page, so you can just click on those and it shows you which ones are sold out and which ones aren't, which is really cool. It was a nice site the way it was set up that way.
Did you see the building on there? I just looked at it when you said that you go to visit us somewhere. I forgot how to get to it, but the building. I'm kind of surprised. It doesn't look like what I've seen as being a winery or a vineyard. It does not look anything like anything I've seen. So I don't know. And it looks like their building. It says Stratus on the side of it, but it just looked different. Are you on the site now?
Or have you? I am.
StratusWines.com.
Yeah, StratusWines.com.
Go to the experience link on the left and then click on visit us, unless it's somewhere else, but that's the way I found it. And you'll see visit us on that little bar there.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Does that looks like a car showroom or something for a dealership?
It doesn't look like you would picture a winery. You're absolutely right.
I saw that. I go, I'm thinking, you know, some kind of stately manor type of place. And I saw that. I go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But,
wow.
You know,
yeah. It's very, very modern, very, very avant-garde. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not trying to diminish their classification or anything like that, but it just struck me as kind of different. So, yeah, okay.
We always picture wineries as wineries. You know, I mean, just the classic winery look. And this one is very modern, very, very upscale. It's cool. I mean, I'm sure it's state-of-the-art facility there. And but yeah, you're right. That is surprising. But it's a neat site. They got a lot of stuff on it. It's really pretty easy to maneuver all the way around. I particularly like when when you clicked on wines, and it pops up the wines, and on the right hand side you can just click on whatever ones they have there.
Oh yeah! Wow.
And, like, you click on red wine, page scrolls over, and then it shows you the different years, 2009, 2008, 2007, 2006, 2005, and you can click on whatever year you want there, and the ones that are still available, and most of them are sold out, obviously, but the ones that are still available are there, so you can buy even 2005, you can go back to that, and there's still the Petit Verdot and the Stratus Red Magnum are still available. So it's really, you can understand why it would get such recognition on the side here. It says Susan Janke, Director of Hospitality and Retail, said, "We're touching a small corner of the wine marketplace, and that corner is collecting wines for aging and wants that information." And so they're actually offering wines that are aged and stuff, and you can pick it up. It says the redesigned site, unveiled in March, features a clean, elegant design navigation structure. A contemporary feel of the website, Jenke says, is designed to match the style of the Ontario winery itself. And that's very, the contemporary feel of the site does match the building, very contemporary. So, It's a nice site, and you can understand why they would get the recognition as it. The site was launched originally in 2007. The monthly average visitors to the site are over 10,000, and it's pretty good. And hopefully, some of you people out there visit it and just take a look at it. I mean, I'm not saying you have to buy anything. It's entirely up to you, and shipping into the United States from Canada. They even have a place there where this does talk about shipping to the United States from Canada. So if you're inclined to, I'm sure you can. But it's just a cool site to visit. So at stratuswines.com from Stratus Vineyards, just a lot of neat stuff. They have a wine club, a newsroom. You can click on different articles that's been written about them and all that. But just a cool site. I wanted to bring that up. I was looking at it earlier, and I thought, wow, that's a neat site to share with people. It's not the ones you normally see. It gives more of a, I want to say avant-garde type look to it, which is, seems to be more than anything. So, cool site, though. Couple other things I want to talk about here. I don't know if you all are familiar with Robert Parker. Robert Parker, in fact, if you're out there listening to this program, more than likely all of you know Robert Parker. Robert Parker started, different wine magazines. Robert Parker is the one that started scoring wines. He's the one I don't know if he started scoring it, but he's the one that basically everyone looks at as scores. Wine Spectator magazine is big on score. You pick up a copy of the Wine Spectator magazine, and you are going to see half the book full of scores for different wines. It's just, it's what they do. I mean, it's very popular. They have a lot of articles in there. They talk about different wineries around the world. A lot of articles on France and what's going on there. They've had articles on just about every country and every region, all that. And, except for some of the smaller ones in the United States, they don't cover that a whole lot, but they do score the wines from different areas. In fact, when Florida State's winery first opened, submitted a couple of wines, a Chardonnay and a Merlot from there, and we were picked up and scored in the book. So I think the Chardonnay got a 78 and the Merlot got an 83, if I remember And so that's what they do. It's big on scoring and all that, and people are always debating Robert Parker's scoring, but invariably they always come back to the fact that it's simple, it's easy, and all. Well, Robert Parker just recently sold off one of the books, magazines, the Wine Advocate. It was he had owned it for years and years, and he recently sold it off. But it hasn't been announced at all. It's been pretty quiet of what's going on, who bought it, what it's all about, and all that. And I found something I want to, for those of you who, if the novice who's not into it might find this, who cares, but some of you out there might find this interesting. I wanted to share this with you. So since the announcement a couple of days ago that parts or whole of the Wine Advocate were being sold, and the whole configuration of this by Parker himself, the Mondovino has only one question. Mondovino's site that I found this on. Who bought this magazine? And it's the flagship of the Parker fleet, basically, the Wine Advocate. And according to the Wall Street Journal, the buyers are a mysterious group of businessmen from Singapore who, as is usual in these matters, wants to remain anonymous. The question is, are these people working as a screen, a cover, as kingpins, or on their own behalf? Of course, pieces of gossip, various hypotheses, and the craziest rumors have dominated the world of wine in the last couple of days because of this. One name keeps coming back in the quarters in the virtual parlors of wine, and that is the name Soho. That's Soho Khanping. That's SOHOOKHOONPENG. Soho Khanping. Soho Khanping is a 40-year-old businessman who recently quit the management of La Hermitage, one of the leaders of import of fine wines into Singapore. And that business was founded back in 2002. It says no reason was given why he resigned. It was only confirmed that he did on November the 22nd, and that Soho was removing all of his financial stakes in the company. So he was a partner in the company, resigned, and took his financial stakes out of the company of La Hermitage. Soho had organized many flamboyant events surrounding wine in Singapore. One of these events was a spectacular confrontation of Pinot Noirs from all over the world, tastings with top names such as Albert de Vallon, but also American-style shows with Robert Parker himself. He is also said to be very close to Lisa Perotti Brown, the new editor-in-chief of Wine Advocate. So more information, more recent information alleges that he formed an alliance with two investors outside the world of wine, motivated solely by commercial interest. It is said that he settled an account of $15 million with the backing of Goldman Sachs and Deutsche Bank, 10 of which were allegedly pocketed directly by Robert Parker. So it looks like Robert Parker got like $10 million for the sale of the Wine Advocate. As by chance, Soho, the man who might have bought Parker, was in Baltimore 5 days ago, 25 miles from Moncton, which is Robert Parker's retreat. They're saying it was purely a leisure trip, information or maybe a hoax. We shall know very soon. Meanwhile, the rumor stays the course, according to the reputable sources in Singapore. So it looks like Parker sold the magazine, the Wine Advocate. And upon selling the magazine, it looks like it was sold to a Singapore businessman, 40-year-old Soho, or Suho, I don't know, S-O-O, I say Soho. Anyone out there knows how to pronounce it correctly, I will be more than happy to correct myself. But looks like that's what happened. So Wine Advocate has been sold. And Wine Spectator, no word on that. I guess that's still out there, still part of the press coverage and all that. But Wine Advocate, Wine Advocate's a good magazine. I've read it a few times and looked at it every once in a while and all that, and I enjoyed it. But it's not one I look at a lot. And so, but that's I'm going to throw that out there. A lot of people who are familiar with it might find it interesting. Those of you who are just saying, oh, who cares? Well, you know, yeah, some people don't. So,
never know.
You never know. my glass is being filled up again. I was sipping my wine here. I have a light Cabernet today that I'm enjoying this evening during the show. So, I'm muttering here a little bit because I'm trying to find that other thing I want to talk about. Oh, here it is. I wanted to talk about tonight a little bit about, since the holidays are coming up and they're almost upon us, about wine and chocolate. It's, you know, it's time to bring out the parties and, you know, get everything prepared and all that. Wine and chocolate, a little bit of wine and chocolate pairing. It is that time of year to see what we can do about wine and chocolate pairing. There's a lot of different types of chocolate out there, a lot of different things you can pair wines, but cheese being the most common, and cheese is always good to pair, but keep this in mind, though, cheese softens the wine. So you're going to, you know, if you have yourself certain cheeses, it's going to cause the wines to soften in your mouth, and you're going to start losing some of the flavors and some of the taste. Different crackers, too, will soften. The other crackers, I mean, you've got all sorts of different types of crackers out there. But a salty cheese with a sweet wine is good. A creamy cheese with a wine with a lot of acid, a white wine, a Pinot Grigio, something like that. And then get a harder cheese, a bolder cheese with some of your red, your tannic and your higher reds. That's always fun. A few interesting things to try. Try an aged Gouda with Zinfandel or Barbera. I love Barberas, by the way. And if you want to use an aged Gouda with a white wine, Chardonnays, or a Riesling, don't get a real sweet Riesling. Keep them dry. An aged blue cheese or Gorgonzola or Roquefort or a blue cheese are all good with ports or sherries or Madeiras. You want that little something that will hold up against it well. Also, Cabernets and Zinfandels, heavier, stronger wines on that. The Munster is good with Pinot Gris, Gewürztraminer, Pinot Noir, Zinfandels. A true Munster, a French Munster. Now we're talking here. Don't go too light on it. American Munster seem to be lighter and softer. Cheddar cheese, the classic cheddar is good. Mild cheddar can go with just about everything. You can calves, merlots, cabernet franc, chardonnays, a softer cheddar with champagne. You get a sharp cheddar, go against something that's got a little bit more acid in it. Again, a Pinot Gris, Sauvignon Blancs, Cabernets. Goat cheese, if you like goat cheese, which is actually quite delicious, goes well with Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, a Fumé Blanc, the keep it in the whites there. And there's all sorts of different foods out there that we're going to have over the holidays. We got popcorn, we got pretzels, we got all this stuff. Don't let the food overpower it. Keep the wine strong enough to handle some of these, especially pretzels. If you get real salty pretzels or something like that, try it with a Pinot Noir or even a Labrusco. It's always fun. And chocolate. Wine and chocolate. Wine is great. Red wines are always good for you. And chocolate, the darker the chocolate, the better it is with the full-bodied wine. So there you go with a good health benefits all the way around on that stuff. But if you're going to do wine and chocolate, don't jump into the deep end of the pool. Start a little bit lighter and softer. Don't throw a whole big half of a chocolate bar in your mouth. You know, keep the chocolate small and light and small bites as you're doing it. Dark chocolate, heavy dark chocolate is great with Merlot, Malbec, Zinfandel, Syrah, and keep the wine heavy enough to handle the heavy cocoa. Now, when I say dark chocolate, I'm looking at high cocoa, over 70%. Most of the milk chocolates we have are very low cocoa content. But if you're looking at, the heavy dark chocolates, ones that are really good for you, go with the heavier wines. Semi-sweet chocolates, again, you're looking at 50 to 70% of the cocoa content in it. Mash that up with a Beaujolais, Merlots, or even ports. It's a great dessert, I suggest to people. Taking my strawberry port, taking pears, slicing up, putting on a tray, and letting it soak in overnight, then laying them out on a plate the next day. Put a little bit of port in the bottom of the plate and drizzle chocolate over the top of it. It's a great, great dessert there. Milk chocolate is a lot milder, a lot softer, and actually a lot sweeter. Most milk chocolates tend to be sweeter. And, you can mash that up with a Pinot Noir, Rieslings, even going into your sweeter Rieslings. Dessert wines, your ports or your sherries, it always pairs up very well with it. And enjoy a good balance there. White chocolate, if you're white chocolate, and we all know there's no such thing as white chocolate. It's just a mixture of sugar and milk and cocoa, or cocoa butter, I believe. But white chocolate can go well with a little bit sweeter wines and stuff. It goes well with champagnes or Rieslings or Gewürztraminers. And if you're not and you haven't tried Gewürztraminers, get some. Gewürztraminers are really, really nice. Wine there. It's something that's always fun and enjoyable, but do your white chocolates with that. For the holidays, don't forgo the wine just because you have yourself chocolates or chips or stir fries or any of that stuff. You can always find wines that will match up with just about any of that stuff. Give a little bit of credit to Joy's Joy of Wine, again, a blog that I always enjoy. And Joy, if you're listening to me, thanks again for the information there. But good matchup. Wine and chocolate is always fun. It makes for a real taste treat. And let me see what else I was going to find here. I know. This is it. Last week I mentioned, and let me see if I haven't wiped it out. I'm sure I have it here somewhere. Last week I mentioned a listener wrote in on the Facebook all about Wine 101 and asked about, wrote in and asked about, and his question was, and I will read it again, more on short season grapes and the characteristics of the wines they make, please. He's trying to decide on what to plant. And I mentioned to him, Chance Cummings is his name, and I mentioned to Chance, I need some more information. We are big country here. I don't know where you were calling from or sending, where you're listening to me from. Let me know where you are, what you're doing, what's the area like, and all that. Well, Chance wrote me back a day after the show and says, archive listener, so I just heard your question. He's from upstate New York, east of the Finger Lakes, in zone 5 at the very best. 4 would be safer. He wrote 2,000 degree days. I don't know if he meant, elevation 2,000. I'm a little confused on that statement. And the risk of late frost. And so now we know. So what I did is I got a hold of Cornell. I called Cornell University. And I asked him, I said, does anyone there can answer a question on grapes and all that in that area and what you can do? And, you know, I was passed around to a couple of people, and the person I finally got a hold of, and I apologize because I don't remember the name. I should have written it down, but I didn't. But we were talking, and I didn't write it down. Asked them if they wanted to be on the program. They said they were busy and couldn't make it, but they guided me to a site that Cornell has on their website. It is actually cornell.edu. It's under www.gardening, G-A-R-D-E-N-I-N-G, dot Cornell, C-O-R-N-E-L-L, dot edu, /fruit/homefruit/4, and the number 4, grapes, dot PDF. Now, if you didn't get that, then back it up and listen to it again, because it's there. But, or if you want to, you know, write me, I'll send you the link. But under that site, in chance, you can, you know, check out that site. It has grapes, and it talks about grapes in that area, for the Cornell area. The first paragraph on it, it's 11 pages long. I'm not going to read all 11 pages here, but I do want to talk about a couple, three things. Grapes have the longest history of all cultivated fruits and are among the most widely grown. The fruits are made to make juice, chilies, wine, and pies, and the leaves can be used in cooking. Grapes are also are delicious eaten fresh, and the popularity has increased since the development of new seedless table grape cultivars for the Northeast and the Southeast. And then it goes on and says, choosing cultivars. Now, this basically is the article that you need, Chase. This is going to tell you everything here about what you're looking for. Or Chance, I'm sorry, I called you Chase. Chance, this is going to tell you everything, what you're looking for here, about the grapes and how to prune and trim and what to grow in the areas and what is good and what site selection and all sorts of stuff. A great little place here. Anyone want to grow grapes up in that part of the country, northeastern United States, New York, that area, a fantastic a little article, 11 pages long. It can be printed out. You can just, you know, print it out on your computer, and it tells you all about it. The keys for success: choose disease-resistant cultivars that are hardy for your site. Make sure your site gets full sun and has good air drainage. Prune vines annually during the dormant season, removing up to 90% of new growth. Which seems, and that's one of the hardest things as you're doing grapes. That is one of the hardest things to really get into, is to seriously prune. And it doesn't just work for grapes. If anybody's out there, you know, on trees and plants or anything, serious pruning can really get you back a good growth in the spring. So, you know, it doesn't hurt to, you know, do some serious pruning. And unless you chop it off at the trunk, you're not going to kill it. But this article, first page here says, home gardeners can choose from a wide variety of grape cultivars, each differing in time of ripening, productivity, vigor, hardiness, fruit size, color, and flavor. The grapes most widely cultivated in the Northeast are derived primarily from Vitis labrusca and are referred to as American bunch grapes. The falling cultivars of this species produce well in much of New York State. So here you go. Chase, this is, did I call you the wrong name again? I think maybe I did. Chance, I keep saying Chase, I'm sorry. Chance, here's one. Concord is the primary cultivar grown in the Northeast and the standard for hardiness. You got to remember the hardiness wherever you are in that part of the country. Niagara, leading white grape cultivar, though it is not as hardy as Concord, is moderately susceptible to several grape diseases. Catawba, a late ripening red cultivar that requires a favorable site and a long growing season to reach full maturity. So that pretty much knocks it out because Chance was asking about a short season. Delaware, this is growing a lot of places. If you listen to previous programs, a lot of people talk about the Delaware. So it's one of the highest quality American bunch grapes, both for eating fresh and for making white wines. It ripens about 2 weeks before the Concord. The tender skin of the red berries, however, is subject to cracking, and the leaves are susceptible to fungal disease. It requires a deep, fertile, well-drained soil for satisfactory vine growth. But being that it is ready 2 weeks for the Conquer, and Conquer is a pretty short season, that's a good possibility. Ontario, the best of the early ripening American cultivars. It produces white fruit. Vines are vigorous, but not as hardy as those of the Concord. So if you're looking at something up in that area, up in the northeastern United States chance, right there by the Finger Lakes, then it looks like your choices might be the Vitis Labrusca, going with Concord or Delaware or Ontario. Good for eating, good for making jellies and jams, and also good for wine. So it pretty much covers everything you would want in those grapes right there. So another great species, the Vitis vinifera, which is the native to southern Europe and recognized throughout the world for its wine quality, is Chardonnay, Riesling, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Gewurztraminer. They're all from the Vitis vinifera. Unfortunately, these are extremely sensitive to cold, and you probably wouldn't be able to get them to grow up in that area. So unless you really take care of them, like covering up the plants and burying them under dirt, any type of extended cold will kill those grapes. If you've listened to previous programs, you've heard some of the winemakers talk about that. And then it goes on and talks about other grapes and the varieties and all that. So, Chance, I think check out this website. It's going to have everything you want there. It tells you how to propagate them. It tells you, buying them where, you can buy them and, how to do it. It tells you how to propagate. Tells you what to do when you propagate them. Tells you site selection, faux sun, 150-day frost-free growing season. So if you should have in that area at least 150 days. That is, 5 months? So, that should not be a problem there. Here it says 2,000 growing degree days above 50 degrees. So it says right here. So I guess Chance knew what he was talking about there, didn't he? He said 2,000 degree days and late frost. So this here says these, be sure you have at least 2,000 growing degree days above 50 degrees down here in Florida. We don't worry about any of that.
Nope.
Yeah. Soil that is neither excessively wet nor droughty. So everything's right here. Chance, check this out. It also tells you, talks about the zones you're in and what to look for and planting early and fertilizing and pruning and training and mature vines and, what to do in diseases and insects and how to handle those and harvesting and, just the whole thing. Also talks about some seedless table grapes here. If you want to go into something like that, it tells you the ones that are pretty hardy for that. So again, the website, www.gardening, GARDENING, .cornell, CORNELL.EDU, /fruit, FRUIT, /homefruit, HOMEFRUIT, /4, as in the number, 4, grapes, GRAPES, .PDF. And it's an 11-page file you can download and gives you all the information you need there. Hope that helps. Anyone else have any questions or any comments out there, please get in touch with us. We'll be happy to find out stuff for you too. So, and I think that's it for the night. Wow. I've covered a few things here, but that, I think it catches us up. So, and listeners,
okay.
Around all night. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that I don't know. I just put something on the All About Wine Facebook page just to see if you need to press 1 if you want to get on the show, or you can just hang out on hold and like they're doing and listen to the show that way. It's easy to do on your cell phone or from any phone, and you could be portable that way and tune in. I've done that a few times actually when I've worked late and coming in from Tampa, and I've tuned into the show on my cell phone and hook it up to the car audio setup through Bluetooth or whatever, and it sounds really good. So
that's just another way. Maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know. But if you want to get on the program, when you call the number 646-727-3235, the guest line, you'll need to press 1 if you want to talk to us, or you just sit there and you're on hold and you can tune in that way. That's an easy way to do it as well. Or listen online, you know, whichever way. But that's cool. And it's somebody local. We know that much, but let's see. Thank you for joining us. That's wonderful. What do we have? Let's see. So next week we're going to try and do the Australia. We're trying to connect with.
That'll be the program before Christmas. But the 22nd we have annual holiday Christmas Kwanzaa, Hanukkah. Am I missing one? Boxer Day. All this stuff coming up. Festival. So we'll. And we're going to have Cabot cheese again available for people to sample and all sorts of stuff. But I did I tell you we had a guy pass out at the
I read that on Facebook. But yeah, you want to tell us about that? That was that happened right after I left, apparently. Because
it was we had a room full of people, and I was doing a tasting, and this guy was there with his wife and a friend and his wife, so it was two couples. And he was talking to me. We were joking, and we were pouring wines and going through the tasting and talking about and all that. And he asked a couple of questions, actually, and all. And he had his back to me at the bar at this one time. I was getting ready to start to do the red, and he had his back to me at the bar and leaning against the bar. And he looked at his friend, and he goes, "Catch me." And he started to go forward. And his friend jumped over and grabbed him and lowered him down onto the floor. Well, we had one of the customers we had there, big guy. I mean, he was like 6'5", and you know, just this big guy, was a paramedic. And so he jumped over. Excuse me. He jumped over and checked his blood pressure. And started asking questions if he knew where he was, what was going on. And he said, you know, he seemed to be doing okay now. And as he was passing out, the guy who called him, his friend, said, "Call 911. So I jumped over and I dialed 911. And I said, "This is the winery out on State Road 52. And she goes, "Oh, yeah, what's your address there?" So she knew me, which is cool to know that 911 knows who we are. And I gave her the address, and she says, "Okay." She says, "Well, what?" And she started asking me questions about this guy. Well, I don't know this stuff. So I walked over and I said, "Here," and I gave it to his wife. And so she answered a few of the questions. And excuse me again, please. And so the Pasco County Sheriff's deputy showed up, female deputy, and then another one showed up, and they came in. And they talked to him for a minute and found that he's doing better. We got a chair over there, and they helped him up and set him on a chair. And then the ambulance showed up. And the paramedic that was there that helped him told the ambulance people that he was okay. Oh, we got a call coming in.
No, go ahead. I was moving the bar. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you told me that if we ever hear that sound.
Yeah. Next time I hit the button.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And I was all surprised and happy. but then.
Sorry.
Okay. So then. A paramedics came in, and they checked his blood pressure and did a blood test on him, and he was fine. He was okay. I found out he has a history. He's had heart attack and a stroke, and so I don't know his age, and if he's listening to the program, I apologize, but he seemed to be in his upper 60s, and so they said he was okay, and when he passed out, I told everybody, I said, "Why don't you all go on outside and visit the vendors? I'll call you back in when we get started again, so I won't have a whole room full of people wandering around, you know." So people went outside, and I went outside and called the people back in and went over to the guy, and he apologized. And I told him, no need to apologize. I mean, people jumped in there and took care of the situation. They did a very good job of it. And I told him, I wish people, if anything happened to me like that, I wish people would jump in as quickly and it was as conscientious as they were with him, because they did a very good job at taking care of us in this situation. And so fine. He apologized. I told him that I was going to put him on Facebook and tell all about it. And he laughed and he said, sure, go ahead. And so I put it on the wine Facebook, but he was okay. He left. Then we started the tasting again. And next one was the red wine, which, you know, I told everybody, if he had just waited one more wine, red wines are good for you. Just, you know, could have, he could have, you know, had the red wine.
It's true.
So, but it was a little bit of a time. First time I ever had anyone pass out on us at a tasting. That's
wow.
Never had that happen.
So they didn't transport him or anything. He was, I mean, he was fine, and he just went on from there, right?
That's right. Amnesty left, the deputies left, everybody, and we started on. And he was at the end of the tasting pretty much anyway, and so they all, you know, left, and, you know, they were okay. So, yeah, it was okay. We had, this was 4 or 5 years ago. We had people come in and tasted some wine and left, and they left their crutch behind. And in fact, we've still got the crutch sitting over next to the register waiting for them to come back and get it. And we always tell people, hey, you know, wine is good for your health. Look at this. They came in with a crutch and they left without it. So
it's good. You might be onto something there.
Yeah. Really? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, but it was, it just added another dimension to our birthday party. So.
Yeah. Well, glad he's okay and everybody. And it happened, I guess, if it's going to happen, it's best that it happens when you have a paramedic or somebody in the medical profession who knows how to do something like that and could help them that further step that, you know, people get training for things like that. Like, you know, where I'm at, we've had training on different things. But to have somebody who does that on a regular basis or has more experience with that, it's a that's the best time to do it if you're going to, you know, if it's going to happen. Not that you can call that, but, you know, it's like...
if it's going to happen, that's a good time. You're right, yeah. And,
when somebody experts there, that's always...
But
that's
the
paramedic
was good. The guy that did it, he jumped right in there. He went over, he laid the guy down. He grabbed somebody's jacket, laid it under his head to raise his head a little bit. He started to talk to him. He was asking him questions, be sure he was alert. He checked his pulse. He was checking his eye movement and stuff. He was very good. He just jumped right in and did the job, and he did a very, very good job of it. And I was really quite...
and then you call 911, and 911 asks you the 20 questions or something. I've had to do that a few times.
And I had no idea what to answer, you know, so I gave it to the lady, and she took care of it. You know, how old is he? I don't know. And then they said, has he had any history? I don't know. I said, wait a minute. Let me just, you know, I'll pass this on here.
Yeah, so. I've done that a few times at where I'm at now at, for work, and trying to relay between that over a radio. Is his urine a normal color? You know, and then they go, no, his urine is a normal color. Okay, thank you. Yeah, it's urine. I was like, oh, my gosh. Why are they asking these questions?
Why? I mean, I know.
Can he point up? Can he point up? You know, I'm just like, yeah, okay. They ask all kinds of stuff. But, you know, I guess they have to do whatever they have to do to send the right people out. So, but some of the questions are like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
They started asking me those. And I said, I don't know.
Well. But it turned out good, and that's always a good thing.
It was a good thing the guy was there. He was okay. Everything was fine. And so we had a little excitement in there. And but it was nothing serious. So.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Well, I guess we will, if that's it, we can close out tonight's show. And unless this person who has been on hold now for over 49, well, almost an hour now, because I took him off hold a few times, if you want to get on the program with us and add in a comment or talk about wine, you can press 1. We'll wait here. Nope. Okay.
press 1 now. You want it in Spanish, press 9. Or no.
Normally, it's the Spanish one is press 1 and then.
Yeah, right.
Or for English, press 1.
English, press 1, yeah.
okay. Oh, that's good. We will try to get in touch with Brian for next week. And so far, he's confirmed, but we'll see how the rest of the week holds. That'll be on December the 20th, and which is next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. So join us here on Blog Talk Radio, and be sure to follow us on Facebook, because there is information about the shows, what's coming up and everything. And you want to stay tuned to the show as a fan, you can like the page. We really appreciate that. And go to facebook.com/allaboutwineBTR. That's a real simple, all one word, no dashes or anything. All About Wine BTR after facebook.com and the /. You can do that and keep in touch with the show. That way you can also post your questions or comments there. We enjoy that as well. And or just keep up with what's happening on the show. Also during the show, I do post to our Twitter. So you can go to twitter.com/allaboutwineBTR. See how easy that is. It's the same
Speaking
thing.
Of Twitter, I have to throw this in. This is nothing to do with wine. Yesterday, for the first time, the Pope did his first Twitter.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yes. Yes. The Pope. The Pope did his first tweet. So I just
But he has a lot of followers, too, doesn't he?
I'm sure he has millions of them.
That's
but, yes, I thought that was fascinating. Not that I'm a fan or not a fan of the Pope, but I just thought it was interesting that the Pope is actually on and doing tweets now. So
they're branching out. So and we're on there as well. Go to twitter.com/allaboutwineBTR, and we'll tell you what's happening on the show as well. So do that. So we'll see you next week on the 20th of December, and unless you're in Australia, that'll be the 21st. And
very good.
7 p.m. or 11 a.m. Australian time, which is, I think he said he's in Victoria, time zone. Yeah, there's a couple of time zones there. So we'll see you all next time, and thanks again for joining us this week. And
one quick thing to the listener on here. If you're the listener that it looks like your name is, email me or get in touch with me on blog or on BTR or something. I need to talk with you. So. I think it's the person I know. So,
okay,
get in touch with me if that's the person I know. Even if you're not the person I know, get in touch with me because I want to know.
Yeah.
So you should have my email address still anyway. So, thanks everyone for listening tonight. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mike, again for bringing the party hats and everything last week.
That was great. Thank you for a great time.
Yeah.
Y'all did a fantastic job of putting this together, and it was a great party and really enjoyed it. And everybody come on out to the winery anytime. We'll give you the hours in just a minute, or less than a minute. Come on.
Less than a minute. Thanks a lot for listening. Right. See you next week.
Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. A special thanks to our special guests who have appeared on the show, and thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in and supporting All About Wine. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and like our Facebook page. Go to twitter.com or facebook.com/allaboutwineBTR. We welcome your comments and questions by email at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. The email address again is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. All About Wine is a weekly program featuring Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. The winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From Interstate 75, take exit 285 and go west for approximately 4 miles. Or from US 19, the Suncoast Parkway, and US 41, go east on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. for retail sales and wine tasting. Visit the gift shop and enjoy the peaceful setting outside under a large shady canopy of oak trees. Florida Estates Winery is pet friendly and picnics are welcome. For more information, call area code 813-996-2113. That's area code 813-996-2113. Or visit us on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. Again, that's floridaestateswines.com. Be sure to subscribe to our informative bi-weekly newsletter. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio.